The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Everybody, it's time for another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Hope everybody's had a great week. Fall has started, which not my favorite season in the world. Summer is my favorite season. Anyway, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, I don't really have much time in this segment to talk about it. They were awesome at See Here Now a week ago Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. But I had a chance to actually ask Governor Murphy a question live on air on WNYC. Now, the woman's name who hosts the program escapes me. I want to play it in its entirety and get it done here. It's about 9 minutes long. There's a setup beforehand. There's my question, and then there's the governor's answer. So without further ado, let's get into Ask the Governor, courtesy of WNYC, with Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey, and you'll get to hear me a couple of minutes into the call.
All right, let's talk about your attempts to change the liquor licensing laws and also the bill to lift restrictions on craft beer breweries. You want the legislature to completely revamp how liquor licenses for bars and restaurants are issued because there's a very severe limit on the number of licenses available. They cost a lot. I've been told it can be as much as $1 million for one liquor license. You want to make licenses much more available and hence cheaper, and then give owners of the licenses who invested so much a tax credit to make them whole. Do I have that right? Is that basically? Okay.
You are broadly correct.
Now come along the craft beer breweries who are upset because I guess there are all kinds of restrictions on what they're able to do. They can't hold events and they can't serve food. They can't have food trucks. And so there's a bill that the legislature has passed, and they want you to sign it.
Sign the bill, Phil, including their own. Do you have some here?
Look what I brought you.
Look at this.
So people can't
be on
see
TV.
This. So we have a can of beer. Okay, you can look at it.
I'm not going to drink it, but I'm going to look at it.
It's a can of beer that is on its label says, sign the bill, Phil.
Yeah.
And
sign
it's an IPA.
Bill.
And if you give it back,
I'm going to give it
I know
back
you
to
like beer, I so do. We're going to crack this open.
No, God, I can't do that. That's like violating something, isn't it?
There we go. You're not allowed?
I'll have a tiny sip just to be social. That's funny.
Yeah. Just okay. Because, well, we don't really want to go off the rails here. Cheers.
We don't. Cheers.
So why have they had to produce this beer can that says sign the bill, Phil? Like why do you not want to sign this bill?
Well, that's a little
it's
bit
nice,
like does
right?
Your mother know you beat your dog? I mean, the premise of your question is not, is it Icarus? I can't remember who does this. Is it?
It is Icarus.
Yeah, it's really good, by the way, guys.
That is a very nice beer.
It is a good beer. Anybody out there, sign the bill, Phil, by Icarus. It's an India Pale Ale, and it's really good. So let me clear up a couple of points of confusion. One is the breweries. I think the wineries, to a certain degree, greater or lesser degree, the distilleries, and all three of those areas are booming, are all operating under ridiculous restrictions. So I want to say unequivocally, I agree with these folks, and we want to lift those restrictions. We also want exactly what you highlighted, broad, comprehensive Main Street liquor license reform, because we've got prohibition-era liquor licenses in this state, which do exactly what you suggest. It creates an artificial supply-demand imbalance, And it drives, I think in Montclair is the example everybody uses. You're over $1 million to get a liquor license. It's set for one license for every 3,000 folks. I understand for those folks out there that have a liquor license, they're worried that they may have paid up and that they're going to get now, in the vernacular, screwed with reform. And part of the reform that we've proposed is a cushioning of that economic impact that those folks may get. And we're very sympathetic with that. We understand that. So here's what we've said. First of all, for the breweries, and I think the wineries and the distilleries, but the breweries have had the biggest microphone on this, we're not enforcing any of the restrictions, at least until, I think, January 1st. So there was one brewery that is in South Jersey, I think in Haddonfield or Haddon Heights, that's going to close because they said they can't operate under these restrictions. I had our guys call them. The restrictions are not in force. So I want to make sure everybody who's out there who's in that business hears that. And I have no intention of enforcing them. But I'm not going away on comprehensive liquor license reform. So after the election, which is coming up in less than 2 months, I want everybody to get at the table with our great legislative colleagues and achieve comprehensive liquor license reform that does all the Main Street stuff that you enunciated on the one hand, and frees up these ridiculous restrictions on the breweries on the other hand.
Okay,
but I'm not going to get piecemealed on this.
Okay, we've gotten a call. I think it's somebody from a brewery. We have Al. I'm afraid, Al, I don't know where you're from. Oh, you're from Clark. So, Al, you're on the line with the governor. You've heard his answer. But tell us why you still might, if you do, disagree with what he said.
Hello, Al.
Well, good evening, Governor. Here's my thing, and I'm a fan of Icarus. I'm a consumer of craft beer in the state of New Jersey, and I love the New Jersey craft breweries. I'm a big supporter.
Same.
But here's my question to you. You're talking about the legislature coming back after the election, which gives them 6 weeks in a lame duck session to pass your comprehensive reform that you would like, when the bill currently that is sitting on your desk that has been passed unanimously in both houses provides relief for the breweries. My question to you is, how is a small business, is going to invest in the future of their business when you're saying that on January 1, the restrictions that they have that were put in place in 2019 by the Alcohol Beverage Commission are going to be enforced again? A lot of these businesses are sort of holding their breath in the next 3 months that, you know, they don't want to be going to a bank and saying we need a loan to expand and can't get it because we don't know what's going to happen here. This bill provides them relief immediately and doesn't affect anything in terms of the liquor license reform. And I do agree with you, Governor. We need comprehensive liquor license reform.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is the way to get it by using the breweries as a poker chip.
Yeah. Al, I don't agree with that. I agree completely with your concern. So let me just say that. And I have nothing but sympathy for the small businesses, period. But also that includes the breweries. I want to get Alex to get Eric Brophy and to follow up with Al. We'll call you, Al, in the next 24 hours. But listen, the mom-and-pop restaurant on Main Street that can't get a liquor license is also a small business. And I'm not playing favorites. I want everybody to get what they want here. But there are probably 100 times as many of them as there are breweries in our state. So I care deeply about the breweries. I promise you that. But I care about the folks on Main Street who are, but due to artificial reasons, can't get a liquor license, and I'm not going away. I'm an optimist. We're going to figure this out. I appreciate what you said. Listen, there's no question what you said is accurate, but part of the reality here is that you've got a lot of folks, as you rightfully put it, unanimously agreeing for a slice of this. The rest of it is harder, and probably not unanimous. But if we want to unleash Main Street in this state, and I certainly do, and I think I'm joined by, God willing, enough legislators who see it in a similar light, that's what we're going to do. And so bear with us. I understand that this may not be a straight-ahead, straight line, but we won't get the broader reform that we need unless we do this in a comprehensive way.
Are you saying that if you were to sign the brewery bill, that you would never get the liquor license changes out of the legislature?
I wouldn't say never, but it's the one element of this whole architecture, which Al has pointed out, is largely universally supported. And so, with all due respect, some of this is hard. Mm-hmm. Away from the breweries, it's hard, and I get it. I mentioned the folks who have their licenses already. I understand that, which is why we've envisioned always this cushioning for their economic interests. There is a reality where other states have done this, Nance, and I should say this for the folks out there who may not either own a brewery or a small restaurant that is can't get a license. By the way, overwhelmingly family-owned, I might add. If you look at other states that have done this, and again, these are prohibition-era
restrictions.
Mm-hmm. They have unleashed Main Streets. And by doing so, all boats, as the tide has come in, all boats have risen, including the folks who already had the license. And that's exactly what we believe will happen in Jersey.
Okay, when we come back after a short break, my reaction to the governor, as well as the governor's people who did reach out to me the next day, and I'll sort of paraphrase what they said to me. I'm not going to give exact quotes, but I'll tell you exactly what they somewhat what they told me and stuff that I'm hearing on the street as well. That's coming up next on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, a little Greta Van Fleet from their first album, I think, Talk on the Street. That's from the Fires album. Got a chance to see Greta this past weekend, last weekend actually, at See Here Now. Issues with the sound. The sound was the biggest problem. I think it was oversold a little bit, to be quite honest with you. There were, I think, combined the 2 days, I think there were over 40,000 people. I think it definitely was oversold in terms of, the amount of people. Saw enough of a police presence. The emergency response, I don't think, was that great because of the fact that there were so many people. But the sound was the bigger issue for me. The Killers headlined, and there were times where you couldn't hear them. The crowd singing was louder than the Killers, which I don't think should be the case. Although, if you got further away from the venue, in Asbury Park, you heard them better. So I'll leave it at that. Anyway, you heard the last segment. You heard what was going on. By the way, no guests on the program this week. We're talking all about this whole thing with me being on with Phil Murphy on last week's Ask the Governor segment on WNYC, which is hosted by Nancy Solomon. So you heard the governor's response to my question. You heard what the governor had to say before that. And there's a couple of things, which I'll get into. You know what? Let me get into that, and then I'll give you their response, because the governor's office did contact me the next day. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm going to tell you. So the governor won't sign the bill. He's made it quite clear he's going to conditionally veto it, send it back, and, you know, he wants his changes. Whether or not he gets them, I have no idea. He did drink the Sign the Bill Phil beer that Icarus started, right? But here's the thing. So the beer is meant to, a portion of the sales from it was supposed to raise awareness, or not raise awareness, but a portion of the bill was supposed to go to the Brewers Guild of New Jersey to help them in their fight on this bill. Well, lo and behold, a couple of days after they released the beer, the ABC came down and said, no, you can't donate those funds to the Brewers Guild of New Jersey. That's not legal. So clearly the governor was a little incensed that somebody did a beer saying sign the bill, Phil. Now, he won't tell you that. And why? Well, the commissioner of the ABC serves at the pleasure of the governor, which, again, the governor seems to deny that he has any control over this. He has absolute control. He could get rid of all of these restrictions by the stroke of a pen and by executive order and say, look, we're not doing these things anymore. That's it. okay? And then this bill doesn't even have to come to fruition. He can work on the larger bill, which is the liquor license. They don't tell you that. Now, he enjoyed the beer, right? Then he said that, you know, all of these things about expanding liquor licenses, it would bring money into the state and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, great. But then he couldn't answer the question of the lame duck thing. Now, he claims they'll get it done. I am very skeptical of this. But the governor's office did call me the next day. And through those discussions with Eric Brophy, I'll be honest with you. First off, the governor's a nice guy, but he tried to doublespeak me during the conversation, not knowing that I know more about what's going on than even he and the governor. Which, by the way, here's the other thing that the governor said. In the beginning of that interview, of that question, the governor responded by saying that breweries, wineries, and distilleries can't have food at their places of business. That's incorrect. The wineries and the distilleries can have food trucks on their property. It's not illegal. They're allowed to do it. They've been doing it. Breweries cannot. So the governor doesn't even know his own rules. Doesn't even know his own rules. That's not good. So that doesn't give me a lot of faith. But anyway, with talking with Eric, and I've spoken to other people beforehand in the brewery world around New Jersey, the information that both of them gave me, without, you know, either side knowing that I've talked to either side, pretty accurate. So there are discussions ongoing in the legislature and the governor. They're not back in session, but there have been either exchanges, phone calls, emails, whatever, that are moving things forward, more so than what the public is led to believe. Now, I can understand the governor not wanting to reveal too much. I get it. But I think this is important to let the people know that, hey, we're talking and we're trying to get things done. We hope to have something in place before they come back into session after Election Day. And, you know, he did say that, people are much more in support of this than you would think. However, I think the governor's broader plan, I don't think has a way of succeeding. And I did mention to Eric Brophy that he needs to call one particular person in the beer business, and that's Scott Wells from Bolero. Scott has a very, very good plan that I think could work and make the majority of people, whether it's restaurant owners, breweries, distilleries, whatever, very happy. I'm not going to get into the specifics. It's Scott's idea, and you know, if we have Scott back on the program again, I'll let him explain it. My idea was to have restaurants, smaller restaurants of a certain size, only sell beer, wine, and spirits that are made in the state of New Jersey. Obviously, you could promote that. It's something you could put in ads, whether it's television, radio, digital, print, doesn't matter, right? But somebody told me that may or may not be legal in the state of New Jersey with all the different distribution things, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. But Scott's idea was really, really good, and would create a sort of perpetual fund to help the restaurant owners who have paid large sums of money for these liquor licenses to sort of absorb that cost. Is everyone going to be happy about it? Probably not. But if you're making 85 to 90% of the businesses happy, then you've done your job. At least that's in my opinion. But the governor didn't really answer the question that I wanted him to ask. How do you plan for the future when you don't even know what the rules are going to be? Now, I would love it if the governor would just say, look, we're suspending the rules completely until the legislature can get its act together, can work out these different details. But again, I have my issues as to whether or not those things can happen in such a short period of time. You're talking about 6 weeks to cram this bill and other things in a reasonable manner. I do agree with the governor on this point, and I think most people would too, and he said this after I was off the phone with him. If he signs the brewery bill, the rest of the stuff that he wants will probably go away. There's no way the legislature is going to take that up of changing making liquor license reform, whether it's by the end of this year or even next. I don't think it is something that would be on the legislature's table, because they would say, look, we've given relief to the breweries. The rest of it doesn't matter right now. We've got more important things to do. So on that, I do agree with the governor. I don't have too much of a, you know, too much of a disagreement with that, and I think most people would agree with that. That if he does the one, the rest of it goes away. However, you're using the breweries as a poker chip to get what you want. And I don't think that's right. Because what happens, and this is my view, I'm looking at it as the glass half empty and not the glass half full. What happens if nothing gets done in 6 weeks? What happens if there's no bill passed? There's no changes. That's my bigger issue. They have to start all over again. And it's, you know, back to having a lobbyist and, you know, spending money and you know, creating awareness. Where a lot of these politicians will probably be like, you know what, I'm done. I voted for it already. Let somebody bring it up. If they do, we'll see what happens. And again, you have to remember, the entire legislature is up for election. And a lot, and there's a number of them that are not running again for re-election. There's no guarantee that you're going to have the votes to pass it. Now, again, I know it passed unanimously. I don't expect that to happen again a second time. I just don't. You know, he's... I just, again, as a business... And I discussed this on the Lager Guys podcast the other day. If you want to take a listen to that, you should. It was a fun 2 hours that we had. You know, I can understand some of these businesses going out of business because of COVID or because of the governor's inaction here on this bill. But in some ways, I sort of don't buy it because I think you have to be a smart business person and plan for certain things. And no matter what would have happened, the you know the rules were going to be the same until they changed it. So, you know, until this thing got momentum a couple of months ago, the breweries had no idea what was going to happen. They really didn't. They were working on it, got set back. They weren't sure. Now, there are some that have expanded their tap rooms or invested in their businesses, which is what you're supposed to do. If you're successful and you're doing well, you invest in your business. I also think sometimes people invest in their businesses too quickly. They expand too fast. And then the demand isn't there for their product. Or, you know, some sort of economic downturn happens, like what's going on right now in this country with inflation. I think those combinations can put you out of business. And that's a shame. But you have to be prepared for it. You know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it was nice that the governor's people contacted me, and I appreciate the conversation. I will tell you this, though. I did pitch them to have the governor on this program. I'm seriously doubtful that that will happen. But if it does, I will let you know. And that will certainly be an interesting interview, to say the least. When we come back after a short break, we got a lot of news to get to. And then, of course, Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. The latest album from the record company. It's called the fourth album because it's their fourth album. Pretty cool. That was Roll With It. Love those guys. Three-piece band, guitar, bass, drum. Let me tell you something. They are fantastic. If you have not seen the record company, I encourage you highly to do so. It is a great time. Think Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. That's the vibe of the record company, except they do it with three pieces instead of the full band that Nathaniel has with the Night Sweats. So there you go. No guests on the program. We are doing all news here this week because obviously I was on with Governor Murphy on his Ask the Murphy, Ask the Governor program on WNYC that is hosted by Nancy Solomon. And thank you, WNYC, for the audio. Appreciate that. We dove into that in the last two segments, and now here we go with some news. There's some news, you know, in Jersey that's not good, but we will get to that in a moment. Liquid Art Brewing, which is the brewery that is formerly known as Roy Pitts, has announced the closing of their Philadelphia Brewery and Tap Room, the Liquid Art Barrel House. The closure is happening immediately. The Philadelphia-based location, which had been open for 6 years, was home to a 4,000-square-foot space that specialized in strictly barrel-aged brewing for the brand. The Tap Room offered guests a spacious location for a night out with friends and or family, with room for 130 guests. Let's see. The space featured an industrial yet elegant setting and featured a robust menu ranging from starters, shareable entrees, salads, and desserts. Liquid Arts continues to live on in their recently opened location in Gettysburg, as well as their main brewery in Chambersburg. There is a full announcement of the Philadelphia closure below. Now, that's interesting. So they still have two breweries that are open, but the one in Philly obviously not doing well. Unfortunately, these things happen where businesses are closing. And I'll be honest. I said this in the last segment. I think for those that have not managed their debt load, that's going to be a problem moving forward. I think this is not the end, but the beginning of, I don't want to say a bubble bursting, but I do think that there is some trickle-down effect here with all of these different things. 633 Brewing is closing its doors in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, after serving the community for about 2.5 years. Closing is a TBD. Sometime in November, they're going to do one final fundraiser. The brewery is owned by business partners Kevin Barrick and Heather Weeks. They first opened their doors just in February 2021 at 118 Walnut Street in Waynesboro. After a little over 1 year in business, the brewery had already expanded its tap room, doubling in size. Kevin and Heather have decided to close 633 Brewing in November. A hard decision, they say in a statement, but ongoing family medical issues made us reevaluate our priorities. It is important for us to be with our family in the coming years to make those memories while we can. And it says, we would like to enjoy the moments. We love all of you that have made 633 your home. We are so proud of what you have helped us create for this community, especially the money you help us raise for veterans. We know we will still see most of you, and you will be an important part of our lives. Thank you, Kevin and Heather. Again, the last day is sometime in November. They're going to do a final fundraiser for Franklin County Veterans Affairs Outreach Fund on Veterans Day, and then shortly after that, they will be closing. Again, you know, sometimes personal things crop up as well, and it's sad to see any brewery close. As we move out to California and San Diego, for the second consecutive year, Belching Beaver Brewery is producing the official beer of the California 300. Once again, Belching Beaver will produce a limited edition run of Buenos Tiempos Mexican-style lager. It'll be available to finishers of the event. It returns to Barstow on October 4th through the 8th, and for purchase at Belching Beaver venues. Buenos Tiempos means good times, an acknowledgement that off-road culture exists on both sides of the border. Belching Beaver Brewery products are distributed to 14 states, ranging from the entire West Coast and Alaska and Hawaii, all the way to Minnesota and Wisconsin. The beer is available at their Oceanside Brewhouse in Oceanside, California, in Vista, California, as well as their North Park Tasting Room in San Diego. And you can, of course, order Belching Beaver's beers online to have them delivered to you, I believe, in the state of California and a couple of other states as well. For information on the California 300, just go over to offroadracer.com. Now, the big announcement in Jersey this past week is that Hunterdon Distributors is closing. They are an enormous, probably the biggest distributor in the state of a lot of beers that come from out of state. So here's the deal. This is the announcement from them. It's with heavy hearts. We announce Hunterdon Brewing Company will be closing its doors December 1st of 2023. Our last day of deliveries will be Thursday, November 30th. From Hunterdon Brewing Company's humble beginnings of just two guys delivering beer from a van in 1996 to our current 142 employee statewide operation, it's been nothing short of a wild ride. For almost three decades, we've had the privilege of working with exceptional retailers and consumers like you. You've been a crucial part of our journey. We'd like to express our heartfelt appreciation for your unwavering support and loyalty. As we tap the last keg and prepare to close up shop, we're filled with gratitude for the memories, the friendships, and all the good times we've shared. Basically, they're saying, cheers to 27 incredible years. Here's to making these last months just as memorable, with the utmost appreciation of the Hunterdon team. Now, over 140 people are going to lose their jobs. 140 people are going to lose their jobs. And I don't know if they've done this legally either. They're supposed to warn the state 6 months before they close that they're closing. I don't know if they've done that. Usually it's an announcement. It's a, you know, a letter sent to the governor's office, and then it's a public announcement that they're closing so that people have time to prepare. I don't know if they've done that. So we'll see what happens here. Apparently, Anheuser-Busch is taking over the majority of the contracts. And if they're assuming that a release clause is in effect, some of these breweries may have clauses that say, we don't sell to AB InBev no matter what. Now, Hunterdon distributes Bell's, Allagash, Abita, Founders, Great Lakes, Lagunitas, River Horse, Trogs, and a lot of others. Oscar Blues, Canarchy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. So I wonder what's going to happen. Are these breweries going to say, no, we're not you know, dealing with AB? And here's the other thing. A place like Cloverleaf Tavern does not do business with AB InBev. What are they going to do? They run events around Allagash, Bell's, Founders, Abita, Trogs, Great Lakes, all of these breweries. What's going to happen here? I may have an answer in a couple of weeks. Can't say anything now. May have an answer in a couple of weeks. But this is just a shame that they are going under. Now, why are they closing? Well, the Hunterdon Distributors is owned by the Sheehan family. Sheehan family has had a lot of problems. They were fined heavily in Boston. Big money, millions of dollars. So I get the sense that this is paying off some debt. It's also a family-run business. And I think some members of the family are looking to get out. And I think they need to pay them. And that's how they're doing it, by selling their business. It's a shame. The only two that are left now, I think, the big ones. I'm not talking about smaller ones. The big ones, Peerless, Cape Beverage. Now, I know there are smaller distributors. I don't know if some of those guys are going to jump in and sort of absorb those brands. We'll see what happens. But this is not good for people in New Jersey. There have been rumors for a while, but it was just the other day that we got the official word that Hunterdon is closing. Just a sad day. You know, another, you know, I don't want to say, well, I guess you could say it, another gut punch for New Jersey beer people that they are closing. Just a shame. And then finally, Trogs welcoming back the fall season with the return of Master of Pumpkins. Each year, the Hershey, Pennsylvania-based brewery begins the process by sourcing over 3,000 pounds of locally grown Pennsylvania longneck pumpkins to be used in the beer. As brewmaster and co-founder Brother John Trogner says to us, a pumpkin beer should have pumpkin. We're a Pennsylvania brewery. Pumpkins grow really well here, so using Pennsylvania pumpkins just makes sense. Our fans definitely appreciate the connection to local agriculture. After the harvest, brewery staff clean, cut, roast, and puree each pumpkin before adding them directly to the mash tun at the start of the brewing process. Weighing in at 7.5% ABV, the once-a-year beer is subtly spiced with cinnamon, clove, ginger, and nutmeg. It's available on draft and in 16-ounce cans everywhere Trogs beer is sold. You can just head over to Trogs.com, check out their beer finder, and find out where you can get Master of Pumpkins near you. It's a great beer. Again, it's one of those, when I was on with the lager guys the other day, we were talking about seasonal beers, you know, Marzen's, Fest beers. They sort of bring you into fall. Pumpkin beers do the same thing. I know people scream about pumpkin beers in the summertime, but you got to get it out sooner rather than later. Otherwise, you're sitting on a lot of stuff. But it's a great beer. It's one of those things, you have one or two, and I'm sort of satisfied, and then I want to start moving into those warmer beers, porters, stouts, Belgians, nice fruit, you know, full-flavored type of beers you can sit and sip for a long period of time. That's how I look at it. All right. When we come back after a short break, it's time for Suds and Duds. A couple different beers we need to get through. And then we wrap up the program. Ain't that great? This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
Gotta dig a lot of holes to get into something deep. Gotta sing a lot of soul to know how to feel it. You still feel alone, but at least it's your own. And I hope that you know that I'm just calling out, saying,
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, a little Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats. Something Ain't Right. That's from their latest one. Just came out a couple of years ago. And got a chance to finally see them in concert at the See Here Now Festival last week in Asbury Park. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show very quickly, but I'll expand a little bit more here. It was a great festival. I felt like it was oversold. They had almost 40 to 50,000 people over the 2 days. And I have to tell you, the beach was incredibly crowded. You couldn't move. I mean, we went out there early in the afternoon. Or I shouldn't say early, because we got down there about 3 o'clock. So it was somewhere around, roughly around 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I have to tell you, by the time the Killers came on as the headliner, it was packed. And there were people trying to come off the beach. There really wasn't a... there really wasn't easy access off the beach. There was only a couple of spots where you could get off. If you had a general admission ticket, you could only go so far. The VIP was the rest of it, which is fine. I'm fine with that. I know people were complaining, but to be quite honest, that's okay by me. I mean, that's the reason why you pay the higher price for the ticket. You know, I thought the band selection was great. The fact that Nathaniel played off the beach and was at the park stage was actually better, because that was an easier walk to get to and it wasn't as super crowded. But again, great festival. Would I go again? That would depend on the bands. If it was the lineup like it was on Saturday, not so much Sunday. I know the Foo Fighters played on Sunday and so did the Beach Boys, but I really wasn't enamored enough of the rest of the bands to say, all right, I have to go. But the Saturday session was so good that if it was like that again next year, I would definitely go. If it was sort of, you know, like one or two good bands and the rest sort of, probably not. For the money. That's you know, putting it that way. Was it expensive? Yes. I looked up my debit card at all the things that I purchased, and most of it was either food or drink. It was pricey. I won't lie. But it was, you know, a fun event with my best friend nonetheless. So let's dive into Suds and Duds. Underground King by Source Brewing. What a perfect tailgate beer. I had this when I was seeing James Taylor a couple of weeks back. Just the right amount of everything in this hot, humid weather. You know, hoppiness, it's got the lager that you want, sort of that refreshing, you know, while you're sitting in the humid weather. Always a good thing. Lagunitas IPA, that's what I had inside PNC Bank Art Center. Sort of the best of the bunch. There really isn't a great craft beer selection inside of PNC. You sort of have to cherry pick your way through stuff. And this was certainly the best of the bunch there, and I only had one. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not going to get overwhelmed at a concert like that, especially when I know I have to drive home. I would prefer to drink before I go in, and then once I get in there, have one, and then sort of tail off for 2-3 hours before heading home. That's the way to do it. And besides the fact, it's ridiculously expensive. My Buck by Bolero Snort did not taste like an 8% beer. That is for sure. This blew me away. Great beer. And it's funny because we were talking about this the other night on the Lager Guys. This is not a knock against Bolero. Bolero Snort does a great job with their beers. But they cater to a certain crowd for the most part. And that's good. I mean, they know that they've got income coming in from this guaranteed crowd. It's hazy IPAs. It's fruited sours. That's their bread and butter. But they make other great beers as well. Like this Maibach, which is a Maibach. The Mexican lager they have, fantastic. They did an English mild, two different versions. One had maple syrup. The other one was a plain English mild when they first opened the facility a couple of years ago. It was fantastic. They should bring it back. It's a great beer. You know, they do a lot of traditional stuff. They do it well when they want to. Their Oktoberfest beer, excellent. But their bread and butter, hazy IPAs, fruited sours. And I get it. I get it. It's, again, it's not a knock against Bolero. It's what they do, and they do it very well. And by the way, their Oktoberfest celebration, which was supposed to be this weekend, was canceled due to the weather. So it is next weekend in Karlstadt, and if it rains again, then I think they're going to try and move everything into the brewery. I would love to get down there. I have too many things going on next week, and it's sort of the last weekend that I'll be imbibing in beer, and then I'm taking a month off of October for a dry October. We'll see how that goes. Crispy Crusher by Source. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a nice, easy drinking Hoppy, what is it? Is it a Hoppy Kolsch? I think it's a, it, yeah, pretty sure it's a Hoppy Kolsch. Yeah, that's right. Light, crisp, biscuity, dry, sweet. I love when Source does these sort of traditional style beers. I shouldn't say sort of. They are traditional style beers. They're good stuff. I mean, everything they do. And it's been so long since I've been down there to actually sit and actually have a couple and have a conversation, you know, with Phil or Greg or Jeremy or, you know, whomever. I need to get back down there. I know Phil had invited me to an event that they were doing in Kenilworth, and I couldn't make it. I was on my was on our client cruise, and I'm sad I didn't make it because I've not been to Ava's Kitchen there, pizza, you know, a joint, and I really should get over there because I've heard really good things, and they do have a really good craft beer selection. Went to see Squeeze and the Psychedelic Furs at the beginning of September. And again, another place that doesn't have a great beer selection at Radio City. It's sort of, you know, in fact, I forgot what I even drank. It was like, it was a choice between, I had a mixed cocktail, and then it was a choice between Stella and Goose. It was a Goose IPA or Stella, and I had the Goose IPA. You know, it's okay. Like, could I drink it? Yeah. Did I really need to? Probably not. I just wanted another beer, and I wasn't in the mood for Stella. And everything else they have, I mean, Bud Light. There's no way I'm drinking Bud Light. It's just not happening, folks. Vine and Stefaner, though, we went to Sean's Bar and Kitchen, my friend Melissa and I, afterwards to grab something to eat. And when you see Vine and Stefaner on tap, you have to get it. I mean, they've been making beer since 1040. They get it right every single time. And it's a great, easy-drinking beer. That's the best part. You know you're not going to get overwhelmed, which is fantastic. So, great stuff. Good to see it on tap in New York City. Then the lovely ladies, Kim and Colleen, who I didn't get a chance to see here now, they're on Instagram at Crack One at the Summit. You definitely want to check them out. They really drink some great beers while they're hiking and doing stuff, you know, all different types of sort of physical activities, and they hang out with their dogs. The ladies are great. Anyway, the ladies gave me a can of Elephant Juice. This is by Eastern Market Brewing Company in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in Michigan. Soft, juicy, but not overly so. It drinks light for a 7.7% New England IPA. Very little bittering on this, but a really, really good beer. Love the can art on it. It is a delicious brew, ladies. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. Evil Geniuses Purple Monkey Dishwasher. This is a chocolate peanut butter porter. A satisfying porter. Big peanut butter hit on this. Got a little bit of that chocolate on the back end, but the peanut butter is definitely present in that beer. I like a bunch of stuff that Evil Genius does. It's good stuff. And again, I'm a sucker for a good porter. Because there's that fine line between porter and stout, and you don't want your porter to be too stout-like. You want it to have a little bit of, I don't want to say thinness, but you definitely don't want it. I mean, that's essentially what it is. You don't want it to be too thick. You want it to be a little bit thinner, not watery, just thinner. I think sometimes that's where brewers make that mistake and the beer comes out a little too thin. Apua Alan from Beer International had sent me a bunch of stuff. And I've finally been digging my way through it. Norwegian Blonde by Oslo Brewing. A very nice, light, crisp, sessionable beer. This was delicious. Went down very, very smooth. Really enjoyed it. Loved the fact that I was able to drink a beer from Norway. And then had Cervecería Narcos. This is their tropical lager. Nice lime hit on this. Crushable. This is the perfect beer for a hot day for sure. This is definitely something that I would enjoy over and over again. Love the fact that you have international brewers making and such wonderful beer. And I love being able to sample all these different beers from around the world. So, Pua, thank you for those beers. I really do appreciate it. But, folks, we are out of time. My thanks to everybody who is involved in this show. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson, who I have not seen in quite some time. He needs to get his rear end down here from the northern regions of New York State very soon. Of course, I will be back on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.